on the Boss Man Show, a friend of the show, and a mentor to me when I was a young knucklehead running around Tennessee State at football camp is Coach Johnny Cole. Coach, good to see you. Thank you for what you've done for me over my lifetime, man. Your wisdom from when I was a child, man. How are you doing, Coach?
Man, I'm doing great. Wonderful. You know, things are happening for me. And, you know, as you know, I now have my own show starting on Monday. You know, oh, my goodness, the Lunch Break on YouTube and Roku TV. And, you know, always a great time to talk with you on what's going on today. And as far as from the NFL, you know, how we kick it and you know, share ideals. So I'm doing great and you know, looking forward to what's going to happen in the future.
I hear that, Coach. Tell us more about your show, Coach, on Mondays on YouTube and Roku TV, and tell us about your big lineup you have this coming Monday that people need to check you out and see, man.
Well, this Monday will be my first time being the host. I was the co-host for this last past year, and so this will be my first show, and I wanted to make it a bang. And I went out and got three championship coaches. And that's Pete Richardson. Everybody knows down at Southern University. Rick Comegy was at Tuskegee for 10 years. Went on to Jackson State and won championships there. And, of course, LC Cole, you know, my favorite. My brother, you know, that was a head coach at where he taught you at Tennessee State, and was the first African-American coach to win a PWI with a Black school, you know, not 1 year, but two in 98, 99, and went on to Alabama State and win a couple championships there. So I'm going to open up the show. It's every Monday from 12 to 1. You can pick it up on either Roku TV or on YouTube.
No doubt. And yes, and Coach, both Coach Coles have molded me, listeners and folks. Trust me when I tell you that. I was at football camp with those guys. They helped get me in line, a little sucker from Atlanta coming up there to the camp, you know. So I thank them both. I went to talk to them. They have molded, helped me be who I am today, Coach. I told this privately, but I'm saying this to you on the air as well. You and Coach LC really helped me become a man. Your lessons at camp and spend time and work with me as a young dude, I really thank you all for doing it. Yeah, I had to do it, but you did it anyway.
Yeah, well, you know, the funny part about it is that I guess when you came up there, oh, well, you know, we just going to throw the football around. But, you know, it's more, you know, we when we throw our football camps, we really get involved and get into it. And not only we try to develop the kids on the field, but we try to develop you guys off the field. It made you mind, it made you discipline, it made you run to each station and really put emphasis on not just the kid as an athlete, but the kid as an individual. And, you know, thank God that, hey, we have was able to touch you and look at you now. You know, you just don't know how much it touched my heart for you not only just to reach out to me to see what I'm doing, but it I'm gratified to see what you're doing as well.
Thanks so much, Coach, for that, man. And Coach, I'm going to ask you this, man. We see the trend in Blackhawks football of the celebrity head coach, right? And there's one at Tennessee State, one at Jackson State, one at Grambling. And guys like you who've been in the business for years, who put in the hard yards, the hard miles, are getting overlooked because you don't have the cachet of winning the press conference and winning with your name. And what I think about it is this, that it becomes more about those coaches than it does the kids. Henceforth, at Grambling State, which one to hire Art Briles, and that's because a job could be going to you, Coach LC. Anybody who's been moved out of a job, who could have got a job, you know what I'm saying, that didn't get an opportunity because of you don't have the celebrity cash of an NFL name, or you can win a press conference with the name of the PR stuff. So, Coach, talk about that, man. Because I feel like guys like you and Coach LC should be coaching somewhere, not doing podcasts and YouTubes and Rokus. You should be on the field somewhere.
Well, you know, it's deeper than that. You know, and people don't understand it ain't, you know, about, you know, me and my brother, which we are a part of building HBCUs. It's about the upcoming young Black coaches that's trying to do it the one right way. And the sad part about it is, you know, I'm interviewing three coaches that between them got over 300 victories in football, but not one of them has never been asked to be interviewed by PWI. You know, so, and then we go around and you know, we're praising, you know, your Nick Sabans and these other good white coaches that deserve it. Don't get me wrong. They deserve it. They're winning coaches. But we got winning coaches right now that's not. And that's being moved out by guys that because of their celebrity, not by because of their coaching record, but because of what they accomplished, you know, it was on the field, but not as a coach. You know, so, yeah, it's heartfelt. I think the HBCUs are being used and at the end of the day, you know, it's messing up a lot of tradition. It's less messing up a lot of order. It's messing up a lot of young men who's choosing to go to these black colleges, but yet now looking to say, well, I can go and pick and go to this university, but I can't come back and work because I'm not a celebrity, because I didn't play in the NFL. I think it's not right. It's not fair. And eventually it's going to hurt the whole HBCU coaching carousel.
Like, I don't believe Eddie George being an NFL coach ever or go anywhere else. I think he'll be at Tennessee State until whoever they let him go. He tried to move on. But Deion Sanders and Hugh Jackson have higher aspirations. And I'm worried for the guys who are going there thinking they'll be there for a long time. They could have went to a PWI maybe and got a little more exposure. But going there, these guys who only using this opportunity, in my opinion, Coach, for their own personal gain, not because they really love Blackhawks football way you and I do.
Ain't no question. Ain't no question those guys are there. I think Hugh Jackson is there because he just wanted to be a head coach. And he knows now that he can't go back to the NFL. He knows now that no PWIs are going to pick him up unless he is able to win, because he really ain't never won no championships where he's been. I know he had a successful year up in Oakland, but since then, he's never been a successful head football coach. So now his job is, well, let me step on this rock with the HBCUs so I can go home and get another PWI, because that's where he want to be at. Deion is the same way. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, what's Deion's next job? I really don't have a lot of faith in it. If I was a betting man, I would be betting that him too, with he's going to stay at Jackson State probably until his son leaves. And maybe, you know, I think it's under a 50% chance that a big school is going to take a shot on him. You know, he knows where he at. He can say what he want to do. He can talk the way he want to talk. He can you know, just about say what he want to say. And he knows that he ain't going to be able to do that if he leaves and go to another school and basically another PWI, which is a predominantly white institution.
No doubt. And, you know, like you said, I told people at the Celebration Bowl, I don't think he's not long for this. No, yes, is he making more exposure? Yes, but at what cost? It's his own personal interest. It's his exposure comes as part of the package of his personal interest and his personal gains. So it's not, to me, genuine. It's like, it's about him always. It's about Deion. It's about Hugh Jackson. They talk a big game. They're talkers. Eddie George ain't too much of a talker or a seller. He's there because he's in Nashville and that's the pay for the Titans. It's not because of nothing. It's other than he wouldn't be the coach of TSU. Wasn't for that, but you know, but Deion Jackson is all about themselves, and you know, Hugh Jackson said some questionable things about what the NFL. He's part of the structural racism problem in the NFL. You know, I'm not going to get in his personal life, but you know, we all know what his personal life is as well. So to me, you can't tell me you love us and love black folk, and when I see you Cowtown with the power strokes the way you do all the time, Hugh Jackson. That's how I feel about it. And that's why I haven't had him on my show, because I cannot be fake, Coach. You know I cannot be fake. So I can't sit up here and interview with somebody who I think is a phony and a fraud.
Well, the sad part about that at Tennessee State, yeah, I know you got to promote your current football coach, but don't forget about in 98 and 99 when some student athletes came along in the first year and the first time guy got his first job at the institution and won the championship and made American history. you know, Tennessee State, when they promote their football program, they go way back to the 70s with John Mayer, who deserves credit as well, and those kids. And then they jump over the 98 and 99 season and never says anything about it, nor do the OVC says anything about it, that Tennessee State won back-to-back and only lost one conference game in 2 years. Also had a Heisman Trophy winner, and at the time in 98-99, broke all the offensive records, seasonal records in the conference. And I'm pretty sure that we still have some of them records there. And it's just not fair to the student athletes that's there, that's now men and out into the community and doing positive things for the community and not being recognized. You know, and I think that feat, like I said, is just not Black history, it's American history. And for them not to honor that and not to represent that and to run away from that, it's shameful.
Yes, and you know, I've detailed privately my run-ins with the university, and I'm an alumni two times over. So it's sad that they don't recognize you all the way they should, or, you know, they treat their alumni like me, who's in the media, who has a voice, a certain kind of way, which to me blows my mind, because if I wanted to, I could just, you know, make it hard on you, you know, really hard on you. If I really felt the need to do it, I can do it. You know, that's the thing about it. I don't understand. You don't want to really piss off a guy that has a platform. Who's well, it's crazy.
Yeah. The sad part about it is it's us, you know, at this day and time. You know, when I was coming up in the 60s, yeah, we had a whole bunch of racism, and it's racism now, but it's kind of hidden. But we more so are enemies than they are, per se, because at the end of the day, it's about money. It's about making money. And we can't sell ourselves short. We got to love our heroes. We got to honor and respect our coaches who have came through. I think on the HBCU level, you know, we got to give that's the only way we got opportunities. You know, the biggest thing right now, there's two racist careers that you could go to, and probably the most is in the NFL as football coach and through the whole office, front office. And here's the big, I guess it's a secret, it's in college football. You know, the only way the Black man can get a head job is in HBCUs. So now what, everybody is running back to HBCUs, whether they chose to go to a Black college or not. And that's where they're getting their opportunities. But here's the double bad part about it. Okay, if I hire you as a head coach, what are you going to do? You're going to bring the people that you know that's also, again, knocking HBCU graduate, young Black coaches or coaches like myself out of jobs. And then here's the double deal where we're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, being a head coach. Pete Richardson, which I'm going to have on my show Monday, his career was over making $200,000. But when you look at his record that can combine with Nick Saban and these other great coaches that are coaching these PWIs, they're making millions. Millions. And yes. Then L.C. Cole, at the end of his contract at Tennessee State, after two back-to-back OVC championships, finished 11-1, the last Black college to finish number one in the country in 1AA football, was making $75,000. $75,000.
Yes, and Rod Reed made, if he got fired, made $275,000 there. Right. And now Eddie George makes $400,000. Where they find the money at for that? I'm just being real.
And Rod Reed stayed there 9 years. 9 years and had what, 2-3 winning seasons, and did terrible winning in OVC. And then here's Eddie George now coming off the couch, making more money than most coaches.
LC and Rod combined.
Combined, right. And
that's 350 if you combine Rod and LC salaries before they left.
With no experience. With no experience. You know, it's just mind-boggling that we make these decisions. And then, you know, you don't honor, you don't respect the hard work that he's done there. Rick Comegys, he's another one. He was at Jackson State. He took him to 4 SWAC championships. He won one. He took him to 4. you know? And these guys, you know, Pete and these guys is never again, like I said earlier in the show, have been called from a PWI to lead their program. You got to understand why. But yet, in Black colleges and these Black college presidents and these ADs, we are opening the door to these guys to come in and take over our jobs.
Yes, because they want to win the press conference.
That's all. Because your show ain't caring about our kids.
Yes, it's about winning the press conference for that day and winning the PR battle. It's become a PR battle now, Coach. Like, it's a PR battle, Coach. That's what it is. It's PR. Like, Coach, in the professional ranks, in the collegiate ranks, even at HBCU level, it's all about the press conference, winning the day, be able to win, get people to donate money. That's why at Alabama A&M, they let go of the basketball coach, Coach Howard. Dylan's a friend of mine. Ultimately, going to be Mike Davis be the head coach there. They build a new arena at Alabama A&M. They want to have a new coach to get to garner season ticket sales. And they offer Dylan a one-year contract that rolls over. Hey, it'll be year to year. Wow. And he said no to it, of course. So they said for the release, saying, well, we try to get Coach Howard to confirm the contract, but year to year? No.
Well, what about Mo Williams? Hadn't had a winning season at Alabama State, get the job at Jackson State.
Yeah, because Wayne Brent retired, and it was announced before the season was even over. It was announced.
Yeah.
It was announced. Why does it have games to go?
Yeah, my question is, well, if you didn't win at Alabama State, what makes you going to win at Jackson State?
Jackson State wants to win the what? The press conference. Win the day. And Mo Williams is from there. So
right. NBA player.
And the thing about that is that Mo Williams, Deion Sanders are already rich. So guess what? They can spend out of their own pocket to help.
Hugh Jackson
is kind of rich too. And he can do, but Eddie George don't do that. Eddie George leaves it to the university to do it. Eddie George ain't putting his money into TSU.
Right. Well, the thing is again, here I am, a Black college graduate. And I'm speaking for all Black college graduates that want to be in coaching. And one of the things, you know, back in the 80s when I used to go to the National Coach Convention, they used to tell us, you know, get out of those warm-up suits. Come here with your hair cut. Be able to speak. Learn your craft. Be able to get on the board. You do all that, okay? Then you successful at coordinator. Then they say, well, you ain't ready to be a head coach. So then now they don't move the flag now, and not they move the flag, we move the flag. Now you either got to be a celebrity or play Division I-A football, you know? So what is it? I mean, and we move the flag on ourselves now. Now, if you're not a celebrity or played in NFL or coached some 1-8 school, you can't come back here and coach. And it's not right, it's not fair, but it's life.
And Coach, what I feel is happening is that too many of our HBCUs want to try to be like the PWIs. That's the problem. Rather than be their own separate lane, they want to, you know, mimic the PWIs who are not us.
Right. Well, you know, my university, you know, who I love dearly, just turned around and went and bought some suits and pants and shirt from Michael Strahan. And I don't know why we only won 2 games in the last 3 freaking football seasons, you know, but I get it. You know, that's the copycat. Okay, well, Jackson State can get some dress outfits from Mike Strahan. I guess we can too. I think the money could have been spent other places in the program to make it better.
No doubt. Like, we're too busy on, we need to make our facilities better. Like, listen, facilities. Like when you was at Tennessee State, there was no indoor facility there. You had to go up on that, up on the hill down there on that grassy field that we had camp at.
Our coach's office, was over in the student center.
Yeah, over in Keene Hall.
Yeah, our locker room was up underneath
the hall.
That was built back in the 30s, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And now they dress in gentry now, the football team does.
Yeah. The team dresses in gentry. Yeah,
which is crazy that your football dress in basketball arena. That's crazy.
And you built the indoor facility within what, 100 yards of the football field?
Yes. And
didn't put a locker room in it?
And it started when I was a junior there in 08.
Yeah.
I remember when we started building, because we couldn't, I used to park over in that lot to go to my classes in Gentry.
Well, a lot of this too is because these presidents and these athletic directors are not doing their job. If you see a president on campus all the time, he's not out raising money. If you see an athletic director on campus all the time, he's not out trying to raise money. They are supposed to be the money raisers. The coach is supposed to be a participant in it, to show up and make sure he's shaking hands and kissing babies. But now, you know, well, I don't want to do that. I'm not an expert to go raise money. Well, let me go hire a celebrity coach and try to put build some things around him so people can give some money. Is it a good strategy? I don't know. I mean, we'll see.
Or they make you play these bye games in basketball, football, and women's basketball, and take losses and kill a coach's record to raise money for the department. And some HBCUs, who I know personally, they rather the coach lose. They were mad the coach won some games to cut down on the guaranteed money against these guaranteed bye games.
Yeah, well,
you're killing that man's career by making him want him to lose games, but you're going to fire him for 3 or 4 years. Oh, you look at your record.
Well, hopefully he's putting in his contract that he's getting some percentage of that. And that'll cut some of that down, you know, that the coaches is getting percentage of the guaranteed money off of some of these guaranteed games. And, yeah, that is a way that they are moving the needle as far as playing these out of conference games, playing these big 1A schools.
Yeah, like, nah, he don't have his contract, unfortunately. I've seen his contract. He's trying to fight against trying to take losses. You know, I said, bro, I feel for you, man. But, yes, I said, nah, they're mad he won some games this year. Mad. Yeah. Because they wanted to get more money. They wanted to be bad to get more money.
Yeah, I understand that it's Tennessee State. Is they playing Notre Dame?
Yes, in 2023, yes.
And that Notre Dame gave them $1 million?
Yes.
Okay, Tennessee State. And then the other games on their schedule, I'm understanding, is a lot of Division II teams.
Yes.
This year to get him some wins. Well, you know where he got that strategy from. He got that blueprint from Deion, because Deion, you know, is not playing any Division I-A schools. So he wants to get an undefeated record. And so that's Eddie George's way of saying, well, people don't care who you play, just as long as you win. And there's some truth to that philosophy. At the end of the day, they look at your record. They don't go back and necessarily look at who you beat.
No doubt. When it's time to fire you, they're going to throw every loss in your face. So, you know, I feel bad for my brothers in the MEAC, the SWAC, the SIAC, and CIAA, because they get it hard. Like, you know, it's bad because it's always stacked against the black coach. Let's be real about that, coach.
Well, I mean, look at the numbers. When 75% or 70% of all football players on every level, just about, are African American or people of color, and you look at the staff and it doesn't match. It doesn't even. It's so tough on a black coach and a black man today. Now they're actually moving women into coaching football.
Yes.
When you say, okay, I get it, but we ain't solved this problem yet.
And coach, let me throw it out there for the people who slow in the back. When you hear minority, that also includes white women.
Right.
That's what that really means. When you hear the word minority, or that's white women, because the majority is white men. So when you hear the NFL say hire a minority or a woman, that means white women.
You actually got women coaching in the NFL. Now, how does a kid that's been a superstar all his life, okay, he gets up on the pro level and he has a woman that's a coach that never even put a helmet on, shoulder pads, been hit so hard to knock the snot out you, tell me how to run a route. Now, how can she tell me how to run a route? And I'm not against women, believe me, I'm not. But I'm for black African American male men that we out of work. We out of work and out of job. The only work we doing is over in prison. That's what I'm for. So I'm not speaking against women, but I'm saying those are positions that we could have so we could take care of our families, so we can make a decent living. Yes. You know, that's how deep it is, you know. And it's crazy. You know, now they've added a position of color to on the offensive staff of the NFL. Anything is good, you know, and I accept that. But we still need to do a better job, I think, at our HBCU schools about our hiring practices. Because, see, the week after this, I'm bringing in James Woody, who's been a successful offensive coordinator. Melvin Spears, who's been an excellent offensive coordinator, also been a championship head coach. I'm bringing in Daryl Ashbery, who's been a head football coach, successful, as well as a super offensive coordinator. All three of these men, along with myself, have had great quarterbacks, been winning. But today, we are all out of work. And we can't even get coordinator jobs or position jobs on staffs. And then we look at the white guys who were in the league when we were there, and all of them was able to bounce from school to school to school to school. For the last 20 years, they were able to go from school to school to school to school. And myself is, what's the issue? What's the difference? The difference is the color of our skin. That's the only thing they could say.
And they look at the SWAC and MEAC as inferior football.
Evidently they do. But
think about that in D1 basketball coach. When you get a coach in the SWAC or the MEAC, how often do they get to leave? Look at Robert Jones in Norfolk State or Lavelle Moulton. They've been winning for years in the MEAC. Ain't went nowhere in there. Ryan Ritter is my friend. And Bethune-Cookman. Ryan Ritter, who's a white guy, he's my friend. Very cool. And Bethune-Cookman got to leave to go to UT Martin. The white coach did. Not the black ones in the SWAC and the MEAC basketball, but the white dude did. And yeah. Ryan's my friend. Now, I'm not just trying to disparage Ryan Ritter, who's my friend. I'm just making a point that him being a white guy, but they couldn't leave the MEAC, now in the SWAC, yeah, and go to the coach UT Martin. Now, he had a rough year at UT Martin, but he's there as the head coach.
Well, let me piggyback off you and make you even feel better, because I've been in black college since 1981, 41 years. There's only been one coach from HBCU football that have left and took a PWI Division I A job. One. And he's white. He's the coach from Alcorn State. Not Doug Williams, not Pete Richardson, not W.C. Gordon, not L.C. Cole, not Rick Comegy. All these winning coaches in the SWAC have never got a job on a 1A level. And they've been coaching 1AA football, been winning national championships and everything else, been ranked in the top 10, top 20 in 1AA football, has not got a job. And I'd go to even say, in the last 40 years, I haven't even got an interview for a Division I A job. There's only one coach in 40 years of football on the 1AA level in HBCUs have went up to a 1A school and got a job, and he asked me to be white.
So it's obvious what me and Coach are saying, folks. It's a problem. And for those who say systemic racism does not exist, it does. It's like those who deny it, it's true. And Coach, I saw him say all the time, Coach, white supremacy is not just white people. It be us too who perpetuate white supremacy. It be
I'm
us
always
too.
On us. I'm on us. If we don't help us, what yeah. would we expect? I know slavery didn't get over just because of us. There was white folks who helped us get through that.
Yes.
There's white folks. So I'm telling you to ask your white friends that they gonna have to speak up as well.
Because I tell them all the time, Coach, it's not a JR problem or a Coach Johnny Cole problem. It's, hey, you are white. You have the privilege to talk about these issues and put it out there to your fellow white people who don't, will not hear nothing from me because they hate me already. But they will hear from you, and maybe you can break down that wall of hate and help them see the light that, hey, we need to be more fair in our hiring practice, be more diverse. And because, like, you know, it's messed up that, you know, even on the D1 level coach, so I try to get the black coach like Mike Lossley on my show in Maryland. The SIDs say no. I can't speak to him. Say, I'm a black dude. I'm a black. He's talking to black media. He was like, he's the head of black coaches association of the college football. Can he should come on my show and talk about it? But the SIDs like, no, he can't do it. I'm too controversial, coach.
Oh well, hey man. Sometimes the truth hurts. You know what I'm saying? And you know, it's got to be said. You know, this morning I just was watching the news and seeing, you know, another African-American male get shot in the head by a police officer that was on top of him. And when he pulled his gun out and put the gun to his head and shot him in the head over his license plates. I mean, you know, this is real. But I think, you know, again, we as black folks can control what we can control and just realize it and stop hating on each other, you know, and stop taking that philosophy of their ice is colder than our ice. You know, give us a chance. If they can learn on the job, so can some of us. Mm-hmm. You know, not always when we come up there that we got to have all the T's crossed, all the I's dotted, you know, and you know, sometimes we ain't. Sometimes we just need the opportunity.
Exactly.
And you know, go ahead.
And you know, coach, what's bad about it, you know, and this is between me and the media. I've been told I would have got better jobs. I could have had a bigger platform if I would conform or be more presentable or make folks more comfortable. And I say, I have white friends, but I don't seek their validation because I'm me. You know, I know who I am, where my ground and where I come from. And this is who I am. You know, either you like me or you don't, but I'm going to speak for my people and make sure we're advancing. I'm using this platform to help my people. And if it makes some white folks uncomfortable, fine. Makes listeners uncomfortable, fine. They're not me. They're not in the shoes of a 35-year-old black man in America living in Atlanta, Georgia. So well, you can't leave that perspective. You can't speak on what I'm talking about because this is my story. I'm my truth. I'm going to give it to my listeners every day, all day on this show, coach. And you know, you all talk to me as a young man too at football camp. Be who you are.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, you're not speaking on hatred. Nobody hates anybody. All we're speaking on is awareness. Mm-hmm. And you know, I always come from a point of awareness for us that we know we got to take care of us. You know, when we get a job on the 1A level and you got 9 or 10 opportunities, you know, why you don't hire 6 brothers and 3 white guys? You know, like they done us. That's been acceptable. You know, you look at these staffs, you get 1 black on the offense, 1 black on defense. You know what I mean? Through the whole conference. Or why not reach down and say, okay, I need some black coaches. Let me contact some head coaches on the HBCU level to see if they recommend somebody. And then bring that guy up, you know, either through spring practice, you know, let him stay at your house. You're making $4, $5, $6, $7 million. You know what I mean? Or pay for a hotel for him. Okay, hey, come over, you know, I want to see you work, boom, 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 and then get an opportunity to build some relationships. We know, you know, those black coaches, African-American coaches up on that 1A, they know it's an issue. It's a problem. So won't y'all get together and do something about it? I think we got now, what, 10 on 1AA level? Mm-hmm. Then, you know, or won't the NCAA do something about it? So, okay, we're going to play for 2 black coaches or 1 black coach from an HBCUC staff to come up on your staff, and we're going to pay them and let them mirror y'all for the year or two. What's wrong with that? To start getting, you know, mixing it up. It's nothing wrong with that. We're not, and as you say, those are the hard questions of why some of this can't happen. If you really want to change, things, then let's do some changing things.
All they want is symbolism, Coach. Symbolism. All it is. They want, like, I hate to go this way, but Juneteenth, the lynching bill, it didn't cost no money or no opportunity. That's why it passed. Wow. If you're talking about opportunity and money, it's going to be pushed back. If it's symbolism, don't cost a dime, we'll do it. But when it talks about that real change, swapping out a white male or white woman in a role for a black man or black woman, then we have an issue. That's what, as long as it doesn't cost them any money, it's okay. As long as it's a symbol, it's like, oh yeah, we're with you in the cause. We can protest it because protests don't cost them a dime. Give us a holiday, don't cost them a dime. Giving us, well, a statement here, don't cost a dime. But when you're actually adding roles and development that potentially take a white job away from an opportunity or somebody in their family, then we have the issue of pushback and say, okay, we got to pause this. We can't do this.
Well, my thing is, why don't we take that same role, for my or our family or for some, it's some things that I've been through myself for the last 10 years. I shouldn't say 10. I've been off the field for seven years and really 6 years that, man, I just questioned, being black in America, man, and 400 years of slavery is still here into our mindsets, of how we think, and how we go about doing things. And we got to recognize that. And once you recognize that, I think you can do better.
And Coach, that's why I tell you every day, Coach, I'm a free man. Mm-hmm. Nobody controls me. There's no string or tap on the shoulder. You can't say that, JR. I just did. No, nobody gonna tell me what I said to you on the show today, Coach. I need to apologize for it. See, when you work at ESPN, CBS Sports, Yahoo Sports, SI, all them different places, Turner, you're controlled. If you get too far out the lines, you'll get a call the next day.
Wow. Again,
tap on the shoulder. That's why I purposely avoid those who stay independently in black, because I can say what I want to say. I'm my own boss. I can talk to my good friend and coach, Donnie Cole, because I want to. I don't have to get any approval from anybody above my head.
That's why
I say independent. And every dime stays in a black man's pocket. It does not have to be consigned up the ladder to somebody else's show.
Well, I certainly want to congratulate you and appreciate you, and you shouldn't apologize to nobody and not be apologetic for your accomplishments and the way you feel. It's not like you are bashing or some hate crime. You just want your piece of the pie.
And I
got that. And, one thing America says, the number one, the Constitution, freedom of speech. I mean, hey, that's what it's about, if I'm a free man, that means I'm free to do and say what I want to say and not be able to hurt another race or I just want to bring awareness to my race. And I don't think that you should apologize for that. And, I can't say enough about you, where you come from and where you're going. And you actually, you're helping people. You help a lot of people, and they might not tell you, but you help me. You keep me up on my toes on what's going on, and to get some of the frustration out, from things that I'm feeling, and the things that I see in this business called football.
No doubt, Coach. That's what this platform is for, Coach. I want to be open for anybody come on this show and tell their story without judgment or having a slant or narrative, because this is truly how you feel, Coach, and I'm just here as the conduit, given the opportunity. That's been my whole style of my hosting. That come here, tell your story. I don't have a predetermined narrative where I want to lead you to. We're having a straight up and down conversation. We're not rehearsed. This is me and Coach freestyling, having a conversation on the air here, people, about this topic that we and him both care so deeply about.
Chopping it up.
No doubt. Well, folks, I want you to go check out Coach's show on Monday. Three Hall of Fame coaches. This is going to be a great show. I'm going to support Coach. Coach has meant a lot to me in my life, and I want y'all to support him when he's supported me my whole life as well. Support Coach Johnny Cole, LC Cole, what he's doing. Coach Cole is a legit dude, a real dude. He'll give you the truth, and I love him to death, man. I'm glad he's in my life. Coach, anything else before we go, Coach?
Well, make sure you know the show starts at 12 noon Central Time. That's Texas time. Central sign, and it'll go for an hour. But you always, and you can go to YouTube and pick it up. Or you always can go to YouTube later and pick it up because it's also tape delayed. It's a live show. Again, it's 12 noon Central time. So I look forward to you guys hearing it. Like I said, it's my first show. I'll be a little rough around the edges, but you got to start from somewhere. But at the end of the day, I'm a true winner.